dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. As has been the case of late, the frontier, perhaps an incipient hot zone in that war for the free world, is the Western Pacific, the Northeast Asian quarter particularly. And when it's time to talk about that subject, there is simply no one better than our guest each week, Gordon Chang. He is the author of two very important books on related subjects. One, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. He is a columnist at The Daily Beast, a contributor to Forbes.com, and he blogs at World Affairs Journal. You see him at Fox and in many other outlets. We're always delighted to have him with us here. Gordon, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
So, Gordon, as you know, there is much enthusing taking place in Washington these days over the fact that Donald Trump feels he has a friend in Xi Jinping, the president of China. What a difference a summit can make. Do you think this friendship is reciprocated, point one, and is likely to do what he hopes it will, which is translate into real Chinese help on the North Korean problem?
I think the friendship has been reciprocated in the last couple of weeks, but it's not going to last. My sense is that Trump actually stunned Xi Jinping at Mar-a-Lago meeting at the beginning of last month when he ordered the missile strike on the Syrian airfield. Syria being a good friend of China, I think that Xi Jinping was really upset. And also, I think that he lost whatever confidence he had that he had figured Trump out. My sense, I can't prove this, but my sense is that he urged the North Koreans not to conduct their six nuclear tests, which everyone had expected them. But we also got to remember that China is, at this point, I think, going to go back to its old way of doing things, which is supporting North Koreans to the hilt. They'll do that unless Trump continues to apply maximum pressure on that, because we've seen this pattern in the past where there's been some sort of event. The Chinese have shown cooperation, and then when we have gone back to, let's say, considering the Middle East and other things, then the Chinese have supported the North Koreans surreptitiously, duplicitously, but they've supported Pyongyang because that is their friend. So we have to be concerned about this pattern reemerging.
And Gordon, when you talk about the Chinese cooperating, I'm getting conflicting reports about whether they have in fact turned back coal shipments from North Korea, one of the North's few cash crops, if you will, other than weapons and various counterfeit U.S. dollars and the like. What's going on there, Gordon, and how does that play into the trajectory you've just talked about sometimes with us and sometimes not?
Yeah, China has, in fact, turned back coal shipments after the February 18th announcement that they weren't going to buy any more North Korean coal until the end of 2017. But we've also got to remember that the Chinese have accepted coal shipments despite their ban in February, in March, and in April. Also, there are reports that the Chinese are taking coal by train from North Korea. And in addition, China is buying North Korean minerals in direct contravention of UN Security Council sanctions. So this is another case of the Chinese saying one thing and doing another.
Well, let me drill down a little bit on North Korea at the moment. There has been yet another missile test. This one seems to have been a high parabola test, which is to say that it wasn't to demonstrate its range, but its other performance. It ended in an explosion over North Korean territory. What are we to make of that, do you think? Is it further indications of problems with the North Korean ballistic missile program or something else?
I think that there is a possibility that the U.S. assessment of this test is wrong. The U.S. assessment is that this test was a failure. But it's also possible that this test actually was a success. And the reason is that the North Koreans may have been testing only the first stage engine, or they may have been testing the separation of the first and second stages. Notice that this the debris fell over North Korea's land. And that means that we can't do what we'd like to do, and that is search the sea for debris from North Korean missiles. So I think that what we would have found is maybe the second stage of this missile was loaded with weight just to sort of resemble what a real missile would be like. But I think that they might have actually just tested something, and they destroyed the missile so that we could not find evidence of it. And so there's a lot that we don't know about this test. So I wouldn't rush to judgment saying it was a failure.
Let me ask you about one other piece of this, Gordon. You have been quite critical of President Trump for, at the same time that he's investing so heavily in the Chinese, trashing, I think was your word, the South Korean free trade agreement with the United States. Give us a sense of what's wrong with that picture, and in particular, what it might mean for the elections coming up in South Korea.
President Trump has said on a number of occasions that he's going to go easy on China on trade in order to get Beijing's help on North Korea. Now, I don't agree with that approach, but it's not unreasonable. But if you take that approach, then you should also go easy on another country that we need their cooperation. And that, of course, is South Korea. And so for President Trump in the Reuters interview on Thursday to say that he's going to terminate or renegotiate the U.S.-South Korea free trade agreement undercuts vital American security interests. And we know that they're vital because President Trump just told us that they are. This is inconsistent, where we're going easy on a potential adversary to help, and we're trashing, and that was my word, an ally of seven decades. This is just wrong from any number of different perspectives. But the situation even gets worse because, as you point out, it does have an effect on the May 9th presidential election in South Korea. This and President Trump's comments on forcing the South Koreans to pay more for the THAAD anti-missile defense system is helping the one candidate who really hates the United States. That's Moon Jae-in of the Democratic Party of Korea. So this is really bad short-term policy because if, for instance, Moon does get elected because of Trump's comments, we're going to have to live with a leftist progressive candidate who is going to give us a very difficult time as he tries to engage North Korea. This could very well be a defection of South Korea to North Korea, because Moon has actually said comments during the campaign that are inconsistent with the maintenance of the U.S.-South Korea Mutual Defense Treaty. This is really bad. I called it the worst mistake of Trump's 100 days. It occurred on day 98. All he had to do was not say anything, and I think that his North Korea policy was actually quite good. On day 98, however, he created a big black mark.
Gordon Chang, let me ask you about one last item. Rodrigo Duterte has now been invited by President Trump to come to Washington. This has got a lot of panties in a bunch, it's fair to say. Tell us a little bit about whether this is advisable, indeed perhaps quite necessary.
Yeah. Duterte is coming, and this is part of Trump's coalition building efforts on North Korea. Now, Philippines can't do very much on North Korea, but they can help us, of course, on the South China Sea, because the Philippines does prevent the Chinese Navy and Air Force from surging in the Western Pacific, where we certainly don't want them to be. Duterte has tried to move his country away from the U.S. and towards Beijing and Moscow. Matter of fact, there are Chinese warships in the Davao City, where Duterte was once mayor. They're there right now on a port call, the first one since 2010 for the Chinese. So I think that we do need to work with Duterte. We need to do so in ways that don't legitimize him, because he has done some pretty unsavory things, such as state-sanctioned murder of 8,000 drug dealers and others, which really is just horrific. But nonetheless, we need to work with the guy, but we also got to make sure that we remember what John McCain told us in 2013. Our interests are our values, and our values are our interests. That's absolutely correct, and we should never forget that, because that's what gives America strength. That's what makes us exceptional.
Gordon Chang, thank you very much for joining us as always and for your insights into the developments in the Far East, which have direct bearing on our national as well as national security interests. We look forward to talking with you again next week. Next up, we'll take stock with Suzanne Schulte about the possibilities of regime change in North Korea. That's right. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.